Good morning, everyone. The children of Israel had been in exile for many, many years, and finally God saw fit for them to come out of exile. They brought Moses back from the wilderness to lead them out. They came across the Red Sea. You remember the story of the Red Sea parted for them. They walked through on dry land. The most powerful army in the world tried to follow them across the same route, got drowned for their troubles. They wandered around the wilderness, and then they gradually came to the spot where they were ready to enter the Promised Land. The people in the Promised Land heard about these people called the Israelites, and it was frightening. It was frightening to them because they were relatively, compared to the rest of the world, a small nation. Not small, but relatively small compared to everybody else combined. But they seemed to be unstoppable as they came into the Promised Land. And so we have a coalition of governments led by the king of Moab, who gets together and is concerned about this impending crisis of the Israelites coming into their land. Now, I do need to set the scene just a little bit, because at this time we have parallel religious systems. We have the patriarchal system that's been working for some time, since the beginning of time, where the father was the head of the family. Patriarchal system was still going along strong. It had its own prophets. God actually spoke to some of those prophets at times, and we'll prove that as we go along. Spoke to some of those prophets from time to time and told them what he wanted them to do as families. At the same time, on the other side, once Moses established the law of Moses and the Israelites were established as being a unique people coming from Abraham, we have the law of Moses. It's carried along, and the law that God had established to establish his people for his son to come out of and to also teach us about God. So we have these dual systems running side by side. Anyway, this coalition of governments is very, very concerned about the Israelites coming into the land. And so they get together and try to figure out what they can do, because it doesn't appear that any efforts to stop them militarily have been particularly successful. In fact, there have been very peculiar happenings as they entered the land. And it appears that God is obviously on the Israelites' side, and we have a problem here because we're not. And so they get together and they call a man by the name of Balaam. Now, Balaam was a prophet, but Balaam was not a prophet of the children of Israel. Balaam was a prophet of the other people, the people under the patriarchal law. He spoke to God and God spoke to him from time to time and told him what he wanted him to say and what he wanted him to do. Balaam wasn't necessarily an honorable man. He wasn't necessarily even a good man at times, but he was a prophet of God. And so we're going to take up this very, very strange story in Numbers, the 22nd chapter, and beginning with verse 21. It seems that Barak, the king of this coalition, has decided that he was going to try to pronounce a curse on the children of Israel, using this prophet of the patriarchs to try to put a curse on him so somehow he can bring God into view and get him to fight against these people, because they've been unsuccessful heretofore militarily. So he's trying to convince Balaam to offer this curse on the children of Israel. And so we are in Numbers, the 22nd chapter, and I'm getting my right Bible here because I got two of them up here, in verse 21. Prior to this, they'd come to talk to him for the second time. They came with a set of bribes, and he wasn't enticed by that. They offered him great power and great honor. He wasn't enticed by that, at least enough to make the decision to go and offer a curse on the children of Israel. So the king said, well, I must not have offered enough. This is politics here. If you're interested in politics, this is politics in Numbers 22. So he came back and offered a bigger bribe with more honor and more position. They came to Balaam's house, and Balaam said, well, it's too early to go back. I have to consult with God with whether to go back with you or not. Why don't you stay overnight? And he didn't consult with God about whether to go with him. He decided on his own, and that got him in a bit of trouble. So we're going to start reading with Numbers, the 22nd chapter, and verse 21. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab, and God's anger was kindled because he went. And the reason his anger was kindled because he went without asking God. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on the side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. An angel, reminds me of my grandfather trying to load pigs. An angel of the Lord went further and stood in the narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. When the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done to thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee." Interestingly, having a conversation with his donkey. And the ass said unto Balaam, "Am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden over since I was thine? Thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee?" And he said, "Nay." Smart ass. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now I also had slain thee and saved her alive." I want to talk about Mr. Ed, okay? There's that old television show way, way back where the horse talks. And someone's coming along that doesn't realize the horse talks. This is probably dating me. Someone along doesn't realize the horse talks, and suddenly Mr. Ed says, "It's over there." And people turn around and look at it and say, "Did you say something?" "Yeah, I said it was over there." Ooh, a horse talking. Gone. This is a true story. This is not a TV story, okay? This is a true story we're reading here in Numbers, the 22nd chapter. So we're going to go through here and see what we can learn from Balaam. We're also going to see what we can learn from the ass, because he has some lessons to preach here as well, okay? So, verse 21. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Now, Balaam didn't know it at this time, but this donkey was his best friend, okay? Was his best friend. When you're going on a journey, it's always good to take your best friends with you, to take your closest allies with you, the people who care about you the most. You remember when Paul was going on his missionary journeys? He didn't take just anybody. He handpicked the people he wanted to go with him, handpicked them. Because Paul, an apostle, with all the powers of the Holy Spirit, etc., knew that he needed their assurance, help, and comfort, and support as he was going out and doing his work as an apostle. We all need each other. We all need friends. And anybody who doesn't think they need friends is just stupid. Just stupid, even if your friend is a donkey. Right? Balaam's best friend was the donkey. Didn't know it. But it was. In Proverbs, the 27th chapter, there's a group of verses beginning in verse 6. "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." You know, sometimes our friends have to tell us things we don't want to hear. That's what's going to happen to Balaam here. His friend's going to tell him things he doesn't want to hear. Verse 10, "Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off." our friends are important to us. And if you think about Jesus, Jesus had his apostles, and Jesus certainly loved everyone. But there were numbers of his apostles that were closer to him, that he shared a kinship with, a friendship with, on a physical, personal level, as a man, not as the Son of God, as a man, that he drew from. When he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he had three that he took with him. He drew strength from them. So Balaam took his best friend. Verse 24. Got to get back where I'm going here. The ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way, but the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards. I want to look at the donkey here, okay? Because the donkey saw what was there. Balaam didn't. Saw what was there and acted. And acted. Didn't just keep plodding along straight ahead, but acted. Took action. First she went off the road. Then she banged his foot into the wall. We'll talk about it a little bit later. And then she just fell down. Just quit. But she took some kind of action. She didn't just keep plodding along. Action is required. You know, I was thinking the other day, a little bit of a sidelight, about Peter and Ananias and Sapphira. If Peter was as shocked at the power he had to kill, that God had to kill, actually God killed, that God had to kill as Ananias and Sapphira were, action needed to be taken, action was taken, and it was over. In another place in the Bible, it talks about if someone comes to you and they say, I'm hungry, I'm this and that, and you say, well, be you warmed and filled, just keep plodding along, and you accomplish nothing. The donkey's smarter than that. Action is required. Verse 24. Angel of the Lord, he went off the path. The angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. Now this is a quandary. The donkey sees the angel of the Lord standing there with a sword. He knows what it is. Donkey knows what that is, okay? He knows what that is. That's dangerous, what that is. Tries to get out of it, and Balaam beats him for going off the path. Well, then he gets into this situation where he can't go either way. He's got a wall on this side, and he's got a wall on this side. Sometimes circumstances won't let you help in the way you would like. Circumstances just won't let you help, and we need to realize that. The donkey was in a circumstances that he couldn't help Balaam right now. He had a wall on both sides, and sometimes we get in situations where we have a wall on both sides. I'd like you to think about Paul a little bit. Paul, several times in his letters, talks about he wished he were there. He wished that circumstances were different, that he could be there to straighten this out or to just be with them or to take something back from them. He wished he could, but circumstances weren't that way. And much as we try to help people sometimes, we talked about this a little bit in class this morning, much as you try to help, sometimes circumstances just won't let you, or people just won't let you help, and you can't help. You can't help. In my business, we have lots of times when we have people who need help. We can provide the help, but they won't let you help. You've been in that circumstance too. Where people need help, they won't let you help, won't let you provide the help that you can give them. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. Sometimes pain is a suggestion that maybe you ought to change something. Sometimes when I hurt, maybe I should understand that I need to change something. Whether in my Christian life or other, the children of Israel really learned that, didn't they? When they were in pain, God was trying to convince them when they were in exile, when they were in exile that they needed to change. They needed to change something. When you're hurting, something needs to change. God's trying to tell us that. When you're hurting physically, your body is trying to tell you something needs to change. Something needs to be fixed. And just kind of a play on words, when in a pinch, don't always blame someone else. Don't always blame someone else. Balaam, he doesn't see the angel, and he gets his foot pinched by the ass against the wall, and he blames the ass. Isn't that just like us? Isn't that just like us? When we're in trouble, we look around trying to find someone to blame. Someone to blame. Usually it's us. Verse 27. An angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. She just fell down. If you can't stop someone from being foolhardy or sinful, you at least don't have to go with them. You at least don't have to go with them. If Balaam's stupid enough, he's going to go up there where he doesn't have a way to escape the angel, that's fine. But the donkey's smart enough to know she's not going. She's not going. She falls down. In 1 Corinthians, the church found itself in a situation where they had an adulterer among them. It's a terrible situation. They should have been standing up and saying, this is not right, and correcting the situation, which they eventually did. What they were doing was saying, oh, this is interesting. I think we'll watch this. This is kind of voyeuristic in a kind of a weird sort of way. We'll watch this. And so they went along with it. But the one I really wanted to talk about was in 1 Samuel. This is what, you talk about strange, the Bible's full of interesting stories. I guess I won't call it strange. Now that I said that, I've got to find the right place. Because obviously my reference isn't right. Give me just a second here. Exodus 32. Right references. Wrong book. And the situation, this is a very odd story. But it says something about us as people. The situation here is Moses has gone up top of the mountain with the children after they've escaped Egyptian army and everything. He's gone up the top of the mountain to get the law. People are sitting down below. They don't really know what's going on. They were just told to stay there. Nothing's worse than telling people to stay somewhere. Just sit. Nobody will get in trouble faster than idleness. They're sitting. And in verse 1 and 2, it says, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said to him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as of this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what's become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And if we jump on to verse 21, it's when Moses comes back down and Aaron's trying to explain this, which should have been a trick, and it was. He didn't do a very good job. Moses said to Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. It's a people. They're just determined to be ornery. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what's become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. Oh, really? Really? Why do you think you were left there, Aaron? Were you left there to build golden calves, or were you there to control the people until Moses got back down? You're second in command here. What were you doing? What were you doing? If you can't stop someone from being sinful or foolhardy, at the very least, don't go with them. Okay, got to be back here. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. He got a stick at and whooped her this time. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done to you that thou hast hitting me, smitten me these three times? Just what have I done to you?" Now, at this point, the story gets very, very strange, okay? Because now we have a donkey talking to this man. I tried to imagine myself in that situation. You're there, and this stupid donkey won't... You ever ridden a donkey, by the way? I have. One time, many years ago, we had the opportunity of being asked for a fundraiser to participate in a donkey basketball game. Well, first of all, most donkeys, my feet are about that far off the floor, which gives me a little bit of an advantage. But if you think you can make a donkey go where you want to go, you're sadly mistaken. Okay, they very much have a mind of their own. But I never had the donkey turn around to me and say, "Cut right, not left." Okay? Or good rebound. I would have passed out and had a heart attack right there. Just, it would have been done. Okay? Now, Balaam's standing here. This donkey won't do what he wants him to do. Wants her to do. It's a she. Wants her to do. She won't do what he wants her to do. And so he's beat her three times. You'd think, and now she's laying on the ground. And he's standing there over this donkey with a stick, and she says, "What are you hitting me for? Just what have I done to you?" Heart attack. Heart attack. Don't judge the message by the messenger. Don't judge the message by the messenger. The donkey has a message. You know how many times in the Bible the message could have been delivered by someone maybe that's a whole lot more impressive, but wasn't? Here we have a donkey. You remember Naaman's case? He had leprosy, and he was a great man, but he had leprosy. And who was it that told him? The little slave girl. Wasn't some diplomat, wasn't some high person, wasn't some rich person. The little slave girl told him about a man in Israel that could cure him. Children of Israel were in Egypt, and who came to save them? Some guy that had been wandering around watching the back end of sheep for years and years and years and years. That's who came to save him, Moses. We were wandering around, and who came to save us? Some shepherd from Galilee. What good can come out of there? It's not a very impressive place. Just not very impressive at all. And Paul told Timothy, don't let anybody despise your youth. Don't let anybody mistake the message for the messenger. Sometimes a messenger isn't very impressive. Paul himself said he wasn't very impressive. He wasn't very impressive. Don't mistake the message for the messenger. And along the same lines, the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I would there a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee." We're in a full conversation here. "For now would I kill thee." And the ass said to Balaam, "Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee?" And he said, "No." There was a little discussion. A little discussion. Donkeys can deliver angelic messages too. So be open. God is around. Remember in Acts 2 when the little girl came and told the people that were praying? Rhoda came and told them, "Peter's alive, he's at the gate." "No, he isn't. No, he isn't." Wonder what would have happened if someone else had delivered that message. What happened in Acts 16 where the slave girl that had the power of divination said that this man is a messenger of God? sometimes our messages come from very strange places if we're paying attention. And again, in verses 28 and 30, in this conversation, I don't know who was more surprised, the donkey or Balaam. Now, Balaam was certainly surprised because he has a donkey talking to him. But I wonder what the donkey thought. The donkey's never talked before. Never talked before either. Was the donkey surprised? Don't be surprised if God uses you in ways you couldn't have imagined. I don't think the donkey ever imagined that he would be carrying on a full conversation with a prophet of God. But neither do I imagine that a bunch of fishermen thought they would turn the world upside down. Or a Pharisee would become the chief apostle to the Gentiles. Or that a half-breed would become an evangelist that two books are written to in the Bible. Don't be surprised if God uses you in ways you couldn't have imagined. Balaam said to the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, I could kill you." Balaam was smarter than the ass. There's no question about that most of the time. But just because you're usually right doesn't mean you're always right. Goliath was usually right. He was stronger than any man the children of Israel could send out against him. But he was wrong. Haman was usually right. He usually knew how to manipulate the court to make himself better. But he was wrong. And Samson was usually right because he usually had the strength to defend himself against any enemy. I like that verse, that set of verses in Judges, the 16th chapter. After his wife, girlfriend, had cut his hair, or had his hair cut. And she said to him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he woke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. How many times, just because I've been right, done right, doesn't mean it's going to be this time. Doesn't mean I'm right this time. History doesn't necessarily dictate the results of my decision today. And did you notice, why have you hit me three times? Because thou hast mocked me. Balaam got embarrassed by a donkey. He's not by himself. He has his two servants with him, and he's with all the princes of Moab. Remember, they stayed overnight. So we're all traveling back together. They're riding along, walking along. They're all going along. All of a sudden, his donkey goes all sideways. He beats him. Then he takes him down through a vineyard, and there's walls on both sides. Where's everybody else? They're going, "Where are you going?" He's going down through the vineyard, can't get off on either side, smashes his foot against the side, makes him mad. And then the stupid donkey falls down. He's embarrassed because you mock me. Don't be embarrassed by someone else's behavior unless you try to understand first. 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter. The ark had just been, was in the process of being returned to the children of Israel. And they were bringing it back in. And you remember, maybe I should go there. 2 Samuel 16. Yeah, 2 Samuel 6. It was so that when they bear the ark of the Lord had gone every six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod, so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting, sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came to the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him. She was embarrassed. Here's her husband out dancing around like a crazy guy because they're bringing the ark back into Israel. Later on, David said, "It was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father and before all his house, to appoint me rule of the people of the Lord over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord." There's a different reason for it. Different reason for it. There's a reason for the donkey laying down, too. "And the ass said unto Balaam, Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Did I ever do this to you before? Did I ever do this to you before?" And Balaam said, "No." If someone has a change in their behavior, look for a reason. They never acted that way before. Look for a reason. Don't just react. "And the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. He bowed down his head and fell flat on his face." Don't get so caught up in what you're doing, you don't see other things. So busy riding along with the princes, he never saw the angel of the Lord. In verse 33, "And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. And unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee." When unusual things happen, start looking around for God inside you. Not about circumstances, inside you. Because he's there. What a compliment to the donkey. What a compliment to the donkey. God said to Balaam, if that ass hadn't acted that way, you would be dead. She wouldn't. She would have been better off than you. She would have been smarter than you. She would have been alive and you'd have been dead. Now, that would put you in your place if God told you that the donkey's worth more to him right now than you are. That would certainly put you in your place. And I wonder, Balaam goes on into the land of Moab. There's four different times he's asked to pronounce a curse on the children of Israel, and he refuses each and every time. I wonder, what would your relationship with a donkey that talked to you be for you the rest of your life? Every time you went to crawl on that donkey, I'd be worried about what she's going to say now. And I would be careful. Here a while back at that Thanksgiving thing we had, Devin said that he had a walking, living grump detector. Because whenever anybody was grumpy in his house, he had a little one that went out of their way to say, "That's inappropriate, straighten up." A living, walking grump detector. Well, every time Balaam went to do something and saw that donkey, I wonder what he thought. I wonder what that donkey is going to say to me now. I wonder what he's going to say. There's a valuable donkey. The Bible is full of strange stories that God can do things we never would have imagined. And in this case, he used a simple dumb animal to deliver a message to Balaam that he was about to die. About to die. God did better for us. God sent his son to deliver a message that unless you take me in, you will die. You will die. And he does. He's done everything. He's tried to deter us. He's done everything to try to get us straightened out. Paid the price for us. We need to pay attention to his message. I like the story of the dumb donkey. That's not dumb anymore. Dumb talking donkey. Not smart talking donkey. That dumb has two meanings. Not talking, smart talking. I like the story of that because God can use amazing ways to help us out. We're offering the invitation this morning to anyone who's in need. I don't expect any donkeys to talk to me right away. But God certainly has gone out of his way to talk to us and tell us that he's willing to save us, and he's done everything he can to do it. So we're off that invitation. We stand and sing the closing song.